Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, and my goodness, we are back. Well, at least I am. Dan has had two shows in that time frame, but I'm back.
I'm on fire, mother effer.
The Dean of Credibility, that's me. You can find me at Folsom County. Joining me, as always, it's the above average comedian, Dan the Man Palachico. Dan, it feels great to be back with you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I feel normal again. It does not feel right not having something to do on Wednesday night.
It doesn't, Dan.
No. I was like, what do I do? So I was just asleep.
What did I do last week? I don't even know what I did. That's how important it was, Dan.
No, I don't know.
I don't know either, but joining us a little bit later on, he is on a business dinner. He's trying to get out. I can already see him pretending to get sick. It is Omega Squad Chris Green. You can find him at Omega Squad, and he's in Tennessee this week. He's a traveler, Dan.
He is a vagabond, as they say.
Wherever I may roam. And I'll tell you what, Dan, he has a story about the TSA. Apparently his microphone caused a little stir at the airport.
Oh, no.
I cannot wait to hear that story. But joining us,
wait to see that on faux news.
Yes, joining us here tonight will be the Estonian Thunderfrog, Dan. And let me tell you, the Estonian Thunderfrog, you want to talk about world traveled? This guy is world traveled.
Well, he's from Estonia.
Exactly. He has to come over here. He wrestles for the Wrestling Is series of promotions. I've seen him at Wrestling Is Cool a few times. I've seen him in a few places. I can't wait.
You should have a weekly, just a daily show of Wrestling Is. And just have a different action verb. Wrestling is cool. Wrestling is awesome.
Respect.
Wrestling is fantastic.
It's fun. There's plenty of Wrestling Is.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Also tonight, Dan, I'm not sure how much you know about Ryan Hollis, but he is in the biggest fight of his life.
I know as much about him as I found out on the first interview.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
Did you go back and listen to that first
interview? I actually did.
You did your homework, Dan. I'm like a proud papa right now. Proud papa.
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks.
Follow Dan at DanLaw83.
And also follow me at Obey Puck Show.
Yes.
It's Kelly and I.
Yes, yes. Follow him there. Of course, the highly successful featured show, Obey the Puck. I'm not even a hockey fan, and I listen to it.
Thank you. Are you just waiting for the day I screw up to go, I told you so?
No.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Although,
we're going to have our first interview in 2 weeks.
Although there is a pool. You know, there is a certain pool of money.
I believe it.
You know,
I believe it.
Justin and I, of course, from Moose Nickel Radio, we have a poll waiting for you to lose it on. No, Dan, you do a fine job on one, Obey the Puck.
I'm telling you.
I'm quite proud of you.
Depending on how well a certain team does, you may or may not hear me lose my mind, literally.
Yeah, no, but you're doing well. You and Kelly have a chemistry. Obviously, it makes sense. It's the same thing I said back when Damian Dragon and, of course, his lovely wife, Foxy Foxy, started... Yes, started Nerd Herders Radio. It's the same thing I said when they start. They had a natural chemistry. That's what you and Kelly have.
Yeah, you can't ignore that. We would sit there for the last 2 years of our lives. We'd be talking and going through all these stories, and I'd throw away like we really should do a podcast. Really should do a podcast. And she finally came to me one day like, "What are we doing our podcast?" Thus, that same day I had an argument with you, and this whole thing started.
That's right. It started the network, dude. It started the network. It's like going back to Centralia, and they started a fire just to clean things up, and it destroyed a town.
Yes, and now we're destroying Blog Talk Radio with our...
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely, the empire will come crumbling down. I enjoy it. It's fun, and like I said, we're going to have our first interview. In 2 weeks, which I will start promoting once I get all the deets.
Well, cool. It looks like it's going to be a great interview.
Well, thank you.
But now, moving on, Dan.
Moving on.
Of course, those are our guests. Getting back to Ryan Hollis, as I was saying about Ryan Hollis, he's going to fight Legacy Fighting Championships. That's a promotion, a regional promotion, that has a national following, if that makes sense, Dan. But I say national because...
Kind of like CZW.
Well, in a way, yes, very similar to that, because they are, of course, shown on Axis TV. They do have an agreement with them.
Oh.
He is going to be in the co-main event, taking on a 2008 Olympic gold medalist. And I'll tell you what, that's big news. We have him. The biggest fight of his life.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But if he can get by this guy, he would give that... there are several guys.
That's a shot in the arm they need.
Well, that's what he needs, I think. Of course, he went to the... We'll talk about this with him as well, but he went to the Ultimate Fighter tryouts back in, I believe it was May, spent every last dime he had, got out there, and he was very close to actually getting picked. However, he did not make it. However, if he is the first person, Dan, because this 2008 Olympic gold medalist wrestling class is undefeated. Every one of them, the heavyweights, every one of them are undefeated. Of course, Daniel Cormier is another one. He's in UFC now. But they are undefeated. If he is the first one to give them a loss, and I'll tell you, Ryan Hollis isn't a joke. I put out the video earlier in the week where he KO'd somebody by an upkick.
Oh, my God.
Never happens.
Oh, my. Yes, but how can you not get knocked out by that?
That never happens. The guy was a little bit too aggressive, continued going forward, and smack, crackle, and pop.
Oh, man.
Out went the lights. Boom goes the dynamite, Dan.
One of the best things I've ever seen of a man get knocked out, man.
With a foot. Guy's on his back. He's very vicious on his back. This is the one thing. And I'll talk to him a little bit later about this, but this is the one thing. He is very dangerous from his back.
Yeah,
and of course Henry Cejudo is a wrestler, so he's going to be going for the takedowns, going to try to control him on the ground. Ryan Hollis can slap on so many different submissions from the ground. It's going to be Dan, if you want to watch something, at least just watch that this Friday night on Axis TV.
Where can I find that?
It's on Comcast, Dan.
Oh, it is Axis TV.
Yes, it used to be, I forget what it used to be called. It's that guy that owns a basketball team. It's his, it used to be HDNet.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I went Ring of Honor.
Former home of Ring of Honor, yeah.
Yes. So that's how it all went around in my brain. It went around in your brain as well. That's how quick we move here on HIAC Talk Radio, Dan.
Yes, and if... I want to segue because I've been waiting to hear this on air all day.
God damn, I'm happy to be back. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm just saying, we'd like you to join in the festivities. We have a call-in number.
Well, Dan, if you're going to segue me, let me know that's where you wanted to go.
I thought we were on the same page!
No, we weren't.
Oh!
No, we weren't, Dan.
I'm going to give you time. We can always chat about wrestling or Ellsworth fighting, or you want to do a quick interview to promote something wrestling, you can call into this number.
There you go, Dan.
To get in a cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
That's right. You know my name.
That's right.
You know.
Three cheers for Dennis O'Dell.
That's right. O'Bell, I believe it is, Dan.
I would research that.
Research it right now, Dan. We have time. But let's talk, as you're researching that, let's talk. WWE had a wonderful pay-per-view, and of course I'm being quite sarcastic.
I love you so much.
But my goodness, Dan, it was...
Dude, if you said anything, you would have put that over. So we had a wonderful pay-per-view, and I'm sure people listening, especially some of the people that we know, they'd be like, "What? Wait, what?"
Oh, this was so different on so many different levels.
And if whenever there's a pay-per-view, follow at Folsom County, or did you do it from Hell in a Cell? I couldn't remember.
I did. I usually, when I tweet things, I put results on the HIAC Talk Radio, and I put my own thoughts on at Folsom County.
Well, first of all, if you listen to the show and you're on Twitter and you're not following HIAC Talk Radio, shame on you. But follow HIAC Talk Radio and Dean at Folsom County for full results and thoughts.
Yes.
Because.
Yes. Now.
That's how I kept track, because I was watching hockey. I'm like, I know I'm going to get the report from Dean. So we're good.
Well, let's talk about the good things, Dan.
And now let's talk about the bad things.
No, the good things. Honestly, the Goldust Cody Rhodes with Dusty Rhodes, the Rhodes dynasty, if you will, taking on the Shield. Very good match. Probably the only saving grace of this pay-per-view. I was saying that Dustin looked like $1 million. The next night on Raw, he also looked like $1 million as well in a different type of thing. But Goldust now has a job with WWE, so I guess we're going to be seeing a lot more of him, which is awesome.
I was going to say he looks better than he has in years.
Certainly, I mean, I think he was motivated to get back in.
I mean, he's dropped a bunch of weight. He can still go. As well as anybody else in that company.
And I agree with that. He's a 25-year vet, Dan.
And not that he could ever not go, but, I mean...
Well, he was unmotivated at times.
Right. Well, I was about to say, when you've had to sit through the legend's son, Dustin Rhodes, with a half a gimmick at WCW, and then get thrown a gimmick like Goldust and go back to WCW, I can understand unmotivated.
Well, I think he was behind Goldust. I think
No. The Goldust part was the good part.
Oh, you mean going back? Well, I think at that time he found God. There were so many things that were odd in his career, Dan. He found God, remember, for a while, and he would pray in the corner. He was T-Bone before T-Bone.
I remember. Yeah.
I mean, you remember all this, and he wore like very odd his career for certain. Now, my goodness, Dan. So besides that match, everything else kind of... Now, I will admit I did not see Alberto Del Rio defeating Rob Van Dam by submission. I did not see that. And apparently they had Battleground Hardcore rules. I'm not sure what that is.
Is that different than...
Is it different than
a hardcore match?
I don't think so, Dan, but it was a Battleground.
Okay.
That's stupid.
Oh, my God. Who is... whatever.
Well, that went 17 minutes, and...
I can't remember the reference, so I can't...
But Del Rio does win.
Help
by submission.
Former president of WCW with the glasses.
And then the next day...
Help me!
I don't know, Dan. I don't care. I'm not here to give you your WCW references.
Oh, it's a good one.
That's not why I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Good. Now, anyway, Dan, the next night...
You're on fire. God!
The next night, Rob Van Dam of course, his future is in question. WWE.com came out with an article that said, hey, he might not be around.
Are you kayfabing it right now, or did you read the same stuff online that I read?
Dan, I don't know.
Apparently, he has a contract where he wrestles, oh, God, like 2 or 3 months, and then can take as much time off as he wants, and then come back, and he has to stay on for like 2 or 3 months.
God bless these contracts.
Like, he's got a half-ass contract.
God bless these Brock Lesnar contracts.
Yeah.
God bless them.
But I will say, you know...
You know, if you do make it to a certain level, Dan, if you do make it to a certain level, God bless you.
I'm going to do the Bill Watts was the reference. Damn it!
You said a guy in WCW with glasses. You know how many...
I know, but I was going to say racist, and he was an idiot, a booking idiot, and you yelled at me, so I gave up on the references.
I don't know.
That's Bill Watts.
Anyway, Bill Watts.
Yeah, good. Back to Bill Watts. No, I was going to say, up to the months before he left TNA, Rob Van Dam,
mm-hmm.
I was, and I mentioned on there how it looked like he was barely phoning it in. And I was honestly impressed when he came back to the WWE. It was kind of like Dustin, like another fire was lit under him.
Okay.
And I said, well, how old is he now? Is he in his mid to late 40s?
Who, Van Dam?
Van Dam, yeah.
Let's see. Clicky the Linky. Let's see. He is...
Add it up.
42, Dan.
42. All right.
Wow, I didn't think he was that old.
Yeah.
I guess he has to be, but
yeah.
I just didn't.
I'm saying, like, at this point, you know.
God bless him.
All the miles he's put on his not a very flattering picture on Wikipedia. Ladies, you'd like this one.
Or is it flattering?
Well, maybe it's not flattering.
You know, I had to crop a picture of Papadon and Kay Koa because. Goodness. Did you see the original, Dan?
No, I don't want to sound, you know.
Dan, I mean, you
said it to me.
My goodness.
Is it worse than Mr. Cole?
Yes. Yes. Let's just say Papadon forgot to tape down, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my God.
He did not tape down that night.
Oh, my God, I hate you so much. I don't want him on the show now.
I'll play this whole clip for him. I don't care. But anyway, moving right along. I'm trying to get through the pay-per-view before our first guest, Dan.
Okay, yes, go ahead. Anyway, Rob Van Dam looks good, and if he needs to take a rest to rest up the miles and go ahead, he's got a lot of miles on him. Next
match. The Real Americans defeated Santino Marella and the Great Khali, and of course it was by the big swing. Everybody's talking about it.
Why? Why is everybody... Like, are you and I just...
That jaded? I don't know, Dan.
Yeah, that was the word I was going to use. Are we both jaded from all the wrestling? Because, and I know, again, certain listeners who think we're crazy for saying that this cut.
Not a good match. Didn't care for it. Big swing. Real Americans win. Curtis Axel defeated R-Truth. It was for the Intercontinental title. Don't know why, don't care, Curtis Axel wins. I was actually updating Facebook at the time that match was going.
3-4 months ago, maybe even further than that, I was loving, why did they kind of drop the R-Truth talking to himself gimmick?
Yeah, he's back, what's up?
No. You're funny, Dean.
No, I was just saying he's back with what's up.
Okay, I liked... That was one of the highlights for me on Raw. It was funny. I enjoy the
entrance, though, Dan. I do enjoy the what's up. But the call and response, it goes back to such a simpler time in life.
Yes, the call and response, it barely gets a response. It's fantastic.
It gets a response from JBL, Dan. And that's all I need. That's all I need, Dan.
Well, he climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Apparently they have a rematch set for SmackDown. If you're wily like me, you already know where that one goes. However, it comes on Friday night. It's on Friday night. Now, AJ Lee with a concussion.
Wait, what?
She got a concussion, Dan.
Oh.
Yeah, during apparently somewhere during this match, So AJ Lee, however, did defeat Brie Bella. And that was, of course, for the Divas Championship. It was on the line.
I was really hoping that they wouldn't put that on Brie Bella.
And again, that match, that was the first good thing that I saw. Again, I did not see ADR and RVD.
Gotcha.
So that was the first good thing.
All right.
Of course, I am an AJ Lee mark. Or pervert, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, I really like the Bella Twins. They're so pretty.
Stop it. Anyway, Goldust Cody Rhodes with Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes did get off a bionic elbow.
Woohoo!
On a former CZW World Champion. It was beautiful.
That's great.
Gave him the old bionic elbow, and then he was getting stalked by Roman Reigns. Goldust saved his daddy. You know, the best part, besides the finish, the last 3 minutes of this match was really incredible. They really booked it well. Cody Rhodes came out looking like a star, which they should. They should build around him, finally. He had to go through that horrible gimmick, which he made a good gimmick, the one with his face.
Yeah.
You know, the mask and everything.
He finally got past that.
Yeah, so...
I hated it at first, but I ended up enjoying him more through that gimmick.
Definitely.
Because he just took it as like, they're going to give me crap, I'm going to turn it into gold here.
And that's what he's done his entire career with WWE. And now they've made this. And I think he's happy, and I think he's motivated working with his brother and his father in this manner. So,
I mean, you could only learn more from those two.
And working with the Shield.
Jesus.
Yeah, and working with the Shield.
So, just the mileage that all the guys from Shield have on them combined.
That's the match of the night, Dan.
Really?
Match of the night.
Hands down.
And then we had Bray Wyatt taking on Kofi Kingston in a match nobody cared about.
Is the Wyatt thing done?
I don't care about it.
As featured on the show, I was with it for the first couple months after everybody else had already dropped off, but I'm starting to go...
They have a cool entrance.
They have a nice electronic lamp that he has to find the button for every time he blows the candle out.
They have a nice entrance. I don't know.
Whatever.
So that way, 8 minutes, nobody cared. CM Punk defeated Ryback. Still don't understand what they're trying to do with Ryback. The guy can't get over. If you put him with Heyman, if you don't, if he's a face, if he's a heel, I don't care.
Isn't it sad that even if you put Ryback with Heyman, that Ryback can't...
It was 15 minutes of just garbage.
Oh, I missed that? Yeah.
That was your co-main event. Then, your main event... Well, in between the co-main event and the main event, Dan, there was some trouble. The feed went offline.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The feed went offline. They had a power outage. But luckily, when things came back, Orton was still making his entrance. So... that's what it looked like to me.
I was going
to
say, like... All you got to do is play the Norton entrance, and by the time he's in the ring and he's got off the ropes, the power will be back on.
All I will say about this match, Dan, is this. It was probably the worst of the three matches that these guys have had on pay-per-view at this point.
Really?
If you've seen... Daniel Bryan is very good. Randy Orton, I have always said, is a good hand in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think the magic is starting to wear off with this series of matches. I don't think they can contain it. I thought Randy Orton and Christian, they could have wrestled a million times and I would have enjoyed each one. They had a certain chemistry. These guys, I don't know what, they just aren't gelling for me. If you disagree, go ahead and call. That's what I say.
Please call.
But anyway... And that's 718-664-9133.
You know my name, look at the number.
You know my name. Now, Big Show comes out, knocks out both guys, and the pay-per-view goes off the air with both guys knocked out and Big Show celebrating. Wow, that's how you book a pay-per-view in 2013, huh?
I mean, if you want to book a bad pay-per-view.
No resolution. Of course, they have another pay-per-view to build up in 3 weeks. What's the name of that pay-per-view, Dan? It's Hell in a Cell, Dan.
Oh, I thought you were throwing me a trick question. That's no. Right. We're trending on Twitter.
Yes, we were.
Woohoo!
Yes, we were. So that's Hell in a Cell. Coming up, it's going to be Brian and Orton for the title for the fourth time, apparently.
I'm going to help it. I'm going to help a trend right now on our Twitter.
So
I'm going to be in the middle of this.
I don't know, Dan. It just I don't know. Just
hey, they took the name. Just, I don't appreciate it.
Just I don't get it. I'm just going to say that I don't get why they did that. But the next night on Raw,
answered all your questions and you were dignified.
Well, but the next night on Raw. They finally, at least part of this story, was resolved, and I'm going to play a clip.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a clip, Dan.
Clips.
And here he comes! Big Joe is nothing to lose! And a shield, Molly, and Salami to Big Joe! And Big Joe fighting out of that! And now Triple H stands alone for a moment! And it's Rollins and the Shield and the numbers game. Oh, yeah, they got him down. Look at Triple H. Triple H just ripped his suit jacket off. He's unloosing his tie. Blake screaming for the Shield to finish it.
Finish him!
Monday Night Raw, and that's how Raw went off the air, Dan.
Well, okay. So,
no,
finally, Big Show. I wish it would have happened sooner.
You know what? Sometimes I think you play it out. It's only been a month, quite frankly, since they've been saying he's been a... Or 2 months, whatever it is.
It's been like a month, like 2.5 months.
Did you get my message? I'm not sure if you... saw that.
Oh, I couldn't even hear that thing go. I was just listening to the...
Oh, well, check the chat room, Dan. The executive chat room.
I got it.
Okay. But anyway, of course, that's how this... Finally, it blew up under pressure. Bam! There you go.
Do, 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 do.
There you go. And Big Show snaps, knocks out Triple H. Where are things going to go from there, Dan?
The thing is he has that ironclad contract, right? I keep hearing people mentioning that.
Well, that was years ago. Does WWE even remember that he had an ironclad contract?
That's what we all remember.
He was fired earlier in the show, though, Dan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He can't do that.
I don't know.
I don't know. Where is it going to go? He's going to wrestle Kali.
You think?
I don't know.
No, I'm hoping he somehow gets involved with Triple H, because God knows that would be a fun match.
Would it?
I was just saying, I wouldn't mind
after
seeing Triple H.
After the last series of matches Triple H had, I don't think anything with him would be fun.
I don't think Triple H has had... Well, I can't say that, because he did have two good matches with Undertaker. But remember when Triple H had the matches with Kevin Nash?
Oh, yeah.
The Battle of the Quad. Quad.
The Battle of the Gimps.
Didn't they have a ladder match?
Sweet Lord. Remember the ladder match if they had one.
I think they did.
Wow.
I don't know, Dan.
I would like to find footage of that.
So would I.
He's hobbling, crawling up the leaf hill.
Oh, it's his quad.
He's done. It's his quad. And he gets tagged into the ring. What happened? He gets shot?
So, I thought it was a disappointing Raw. Again, the best thing was the ending. The 3 hours before that, not so much. Not so much. I don't even have anything to really talk about when it comes to that, Dan.
No, we're at a weird down plateau in wrestling right now. Well, on TV anyway.
There are some good things to look forward to, but Dan, the people have demanded it. So yeah. I believe it's time to go to a new track from the Mystery Men. This is Yes, this is, of course, from their album, Musica en Mascarada, which means music in masks, if you want the American translation, the English translation, the Queen's English for Harry Barnett, who may be listening.
It's actually not the Queen's English.
I have no idea. That's the Queen's Spanish, then. But...
No,
this is how the magic happens. We'll be back after this. And Dan, we'll be back with the Estonian Thunderfrog.
Yeah. magic happens by the Mystery Men on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. New song debut this week. That was an awesome song.
Yes.
I'm bringing that on.
Yes, Dan. I'll tell you what. And, of course, you can go to lucharock.bandcamp.com and get that album for yourself.
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.com. The budding, cutting edge, Dan.
Cutting edge of music.
It really is.
In masks. Lucha Rock.
Yes, so go there.
VHS.
It can be yours for the mere $9.
It sounds like a VHS that came out in the 90s. Lucha Rock. The best of Lucha Rock, now on 3 CDs.
Yes. It does, Dan.
Thank you very much. Don't die.
My goodness.
Okay? Somebody call an hospital.
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
I just had to get that out. I'm a little choked up because our next guest, Dan, all the way from Estonia.
Is he calling from Estonia? Is this Collect?
I hope it's not, because I hope he called through Skype. I don't know, Dan.
Oh, man. Do they have Skype in Estonia?
I don't know.
Let's ask him.
That's your opener, Dan. That's how you break the ice.
But you have Skype in Estonia. Yeah. I think I'll ask him something else.
Okay, but we'll get him right on after this. And I picked this song, Dan, because, one, I didn't know his theme music. And two, really? It has a frog in it.
Oh, no.
So, well, in the title, it's Peace Frog by the Doors. So we're gonna listen to this and bring on the Estonian Thunder Frog, Dan. It is the Estonian Thunderfrog. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hello. Hello, USA?
Yes, you have been connected with the United States of America. How are you?
We live. I'm very good, very good. I just got done with a nice, hot, long steam. Had a little pygmy man walk on back. Feeling good, feeling great. Excited to be here. And, you know, we talk wrestling, we talk fun, we talk love, we talk Estonia, we talk frog, we talk princesses. You tell me. It's good.
It's all good. So the first thing I did want to bring out, how did you get involved in wrestling? The earliest thing I can see on your profile is 2012. Were you active in Estonia before then, or how did you get involved?
I was very active in Estonia, yes. I was Estonia's number one strongman, Estonia's number one actor, Estonia's number one good-looking frog, Estonia's number one wrestler, you know. And I wrestle, and I spread peace through wrestling, you know. This is my philosophy of life, yes. And, you know, and I said, you know, America, USA, they need frog, they need peace, they need happiness, you know. So I came, you know, I got on White Ship of Peace, and I came, and I sought out, you know, a promotion that let me in with their warm hearts, and we took off there at Wrestling is Fun. And, you know, I guess how you say rest is history. Wrestling history, and now I'm here trying to carry wrestling is, you know, .. fun, hearts, awesome, respect, yada yada, on my back, and bring peace to USA, and I love every second of it.
Now, you bring to the ring with you the Hammer of Peace.
Yes.
Where did
Hammer
that come from?
You know, in Village one day, it was big thunderstorm. Rain, you know, we prayed for rain. And we got rain. And at the end, you know, when it was all over, Hammer was in Mitchell Village. And, you know, I was young frog boy, whatever you would like to call me at time. And, you know, everybody said, I have Hammer. I can pick Hammer up. I can, you know, my uncle tried, you know, my sister tried. Everybody tried, you know. And, you know, I was still unsure, you know, what path in life I want to go. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of destruction and hate in the world, and it's easy to fall into that. And I said to myself, you know, if I pick this hammer up, I will use it for peace and change world. And I grabbed
yes.
hammer, and, you know, now I associate with thunder gods, and, you know, I'm Thunder Frog, and it's very good. But then sad day happened, and Hammer of Peace was crushed, broken, and left for dead, and
oh.
stupid, dirty black pig, you know, the boar of Moldova, take my hammer, take my heart, take my love. And, you know, now I do not have hammer, you know. First
oh.
gods make me frog, now gods take hammer away. I still fight for peace, but I tell you, it's hard. It's very hard.
What do you do in Estonia to keep up with your training for the ring?
Oh, in Estonia, I do miss training in Estonia, you know. I, you know, every Wednesday morning, I take my uncle's herd of cows up mountain, you know. I carry them on my back, you know. And I guess big famous wrestler Randy Orton used to do this, and he carry a horse on back. I carry cows on back, and you know he kept my thighs strong, and
jeez.
You know it gave me lots of time to, you know, realize what it takes to be true prince, true thunder god, you know, and it gave me heart. Sometimes I would want to break down and cry and say I can't do this life anymore. But you know, I look at you know, I look into that cow's eyes, and you know, he wants to get top of mountain and feast on fresh grass. So we keep moving. You know, that was one training. We pick rock up, put rock down, pick rock up, put rock down, smash rock. And that's good workout. I suggest everybody take that and do it. It's very good for you. And lots of buttermilk and horse meat. Keeps me strong. Keeps me sharp, you know?
Yeah. How long have you been over in the States?
You know, for a while, it took me a while to find my grasp. I've been here almost three, 4.5 years almost. You know, and I thought, you know, I come to USA, you know, and wrestling maybe will be the one thing to spread peace. But, you know, I said, you know, I'm a very good actor. I, you know, I can be very handsome. You know, Kermit Frog make famous big movies and change USA and Manhattan and space. He's gone to space. Kermit the Frog has been to space. You know, Thunder Frog wants to go to space.
That's
one
true,
day.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what, maybe I'll try acting. You know, I guess people weren't ready for Thunder Frog. You know, I kept getting booked for, you know, late night Showtime movies. Frog Wrestle Princess, Frog Pin Princess, Big Mess. And I didn't want to do that, you know. And I said, you know, wrestling is my heart. And, you know, I reach out to the Wrestle Factory is located kind of outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA. And I said, you know, I wrestle. I'm very strong, you know. And they say, okay, let's see what you got. And like Thunder Frog, and, you know, before you know it, I was was on Wrestling Is Fun, wrestling Dirty Demons and Ugly Goblin, and you know, I fight for peace, and it's always struggle, but Thunderfrog keeps fighting and win.
Now, one match I did have the opportunity to see you in was you took on the current CZW World Champion, Drew Gulak.
Oh,
now, what was
yes.
that like? What was that like
University.
Getting in there? Yes, the University Stretcher.
Yes. You know, I was very excited. In Estonia, you know, he's a legend. You know, he's like Hackenschmidt. He's like, you know, Gotch. He's big. He's larger than life for us, you know. And I say, you know, CZW champ, I hope there's not glass and light bulbs and knives and, you know, forks and whatnot. But, you know, I stepped in ring ready for whatever. And, you know, I came up short. But, you know, it was pleasure wrestling a great, great grappler such as Mr. Drew Gulak. And I learned lots from him. And most important thing I learned from Mr. Gulak is, you know, never underestimate man wearing underwear trying to pin you. So, you know, it was a good fight.
That's intimidating to me right there.
Exactly, you know. You know, it's Thursday night in Estonia, you know, at my local pub, you call it, you know, and I stay away because there's big men trying to pin you in underwear, and I think I want nothing to do with this. But, you know, yeah, it's me and Gulak. Hopefully one day we meet again, whether it's in CZW ring or, you know, Wrestling Is ring or in, you know, WWF ring. I will wrestle him one day again.
Well, you found wrestling. Who did you use as a help me with the word, Dean.
Inspiration.
Inspiration. Thank you. I lost the word. Who did you use as an inspiration to get into wrestling?
You know, British Bulldog. You know, he came to Estonia one year on tour, and I was a very young boy, and he picked man up. You know. And he slammed him to the mat, and he had very great strength, very strong. And I was like, violence. But then I look around, and smiles on crowd face, happiness, joy, you know, belief. And I was like, hey, this British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, he's on to something, you know. One time I had long hair, beautiful braids like him. You know, I tried to be him, but I realized you cannot be another wrestler. You must try to be better. And that's when I know, you know, it takes heart and hard work. And British Bulldog, he was big heart of mine. I like to say, you know, Hackenschmidt, he was a good man. He was very good. Tully Blanchard,
yeah.
He's very good. I like him a lot. You know, Arn Anderson, you know, very, very good wrestler, very strong. You know, very bad guys, but, you know, I believe in wrestling, you know, to see bad guy get beat make you smile. You know, and he does such, they do such good job of making you want to see, you know, them get their faces ripped off and hammer through throats. And I these people are very strong. And I say one day I will be, you know, a great, great wrestler spreading happiness. And it's so far so good, you know.
Now, it has to be very distracting because I have seen you at the shows and I've seen the princesses that come flocking to the ring.
Yes.
How
you
do you
know,
get past all that?
You know, the princesses, you know, I have big hearts for, you know. you know, it's another driving force in Estonian Thunder Frog, you know. You know, I love disco, you know. I love wrestling, I love buttermilk, and I love princesses, and then disco. You put all that together, it's one big party of happiness, you know.
Yes.
But I know I'm here for a reason. And, you know, I must find right princess, you know, because long time ago, I turned to frog. God say to you, you find princess that believe in you, you turn back to the beautiful prince you are.
Yes.
And I said, okay, that's some, you know, odd 30 years later, and now I'm, you know, frog still. But I'm okay with this, because I spread happiness, and I wrestle for peace. But man, oh man, princesses, oh man. You know, there's few buttermilk baths I like to have with some princesses. You know what I mean? It's good.
It is
very, very good. And, you know, American princesses, you know, they have this attitude. They say, oh, Thunder Frog, you're so strong. You know, you're so big and strong. And I say, yes, you like? You want to disco? And they say, you know what? Text me. And they say, why not we disco right now? I have buttermilk bath for you. And it's hard. It's hard to find princess here in America. But one day, maybe Thunder Frog find princess. Other peace of heart, I guess you would say.
That must be a very difficult struggle for you. As you're struggling for peace, you're struggling to find these princesses as well. I mean, how do you get through it?
You know, I know that I'm here for purpose, you know. I know that I wrestle for peace. I know that, you know, a small child that come up to me, and beautiful thing, children here don't have blisters and cuts and bruises all over them from working in coal mine. They have happiness. But, you know, they hurt because they see their parents with bruises and cuts and sadness on their face for working coal mines, you know. And I believe, you know, I put smile on children's face. And if children are happy, it make parents happy. And I believe that I have to keep this alive, this dream that there's something more, there's happiness. And wrestling, I believe, will make you happy. Wrestling can change hearts. And that's, you know, that's what keeps me going. You know, my search for princess will never end. You know, I'm constantly looking. But, you know, most important is peace and wrestling.
Now, if you do find the princesses, or the princess, rather, that you are destined to find, is that when you retire? Is that the end all of being?
Oh, no. I think Thunder Frog never retire, you know. I mean, I hope Thunder Frog retire, but the day Thunder Frog leave wrestling is the day, you know, there's peace in world and peace in heart, you know. One day maybe Thunder Frog wrestle WWF and pin Yokozuna and spread peace on big, you know, larger level, you know. I understand, you know, I'm in independent world of wrestling, but I believe this is the heartbeat of wrestling, you know. And I believe that this wrestling, independent wrestling, it makes people believers, you know. And I believe in this very much so. And I will never stop wrestling for peace. And I will not let my people down. You know, Thunder friends across, you know, universe say, Thunder Frog, thank you. Thank you for wrestling, you know. And it's good feeling, you know. It fills my heart and keeps me going. You know, even though I don't have hammer, you know, which makes a big struggle in wrestling, and I still know I must keep going. Hopefully one day God forgive me for whatever I have done and give me hammer back and let me keep fighting good fights. But, you know, until then, you know, I fight with my heart, you know, and it's still okay.
Now, let's talk about that dirty pig that did destroy your thunder hammer.
Yes.
Now, apparently something is going on. Something's brewing between you two. Where'd this all start?
You know, this dirty pig, you know. It was wrestling his fun. Cruel Summer. Him and his you would call comrades. You know, block party. You know, the union. You know, the hammer. Captain Ashbizier, Mr. Sexy Ashbizier, and the polar bear, and the dirty, smelly, brown sunset of Belarus, and then that mean dirty black pig. He'd take my hammer, he'd boot me in face, and he'd take my hammer, you know, and my heart breaks this day. You know, Cruel Summer, you can find on smartmarkvideo.com. It's on demand. It's good wrestling. It make you happy. But, you know, on this day, I warn you, it was a very dark day for Thunder Frog, and it gets me so mad because, you know, all I do is I wrestle for peace. I hate no man. I hate no opponent. But this pig, I tell you, this pig will pay for this. Because he's stepping in the way of Thunder Frog spreading peace to universe, you know, and it's not fair, you know.
No.
I will break Pig. I will break Pig like he break hammer. Because you know what make Thunder Frog happy? Tears of polar bear and blood of pig.
Oh,
and this make people squeamish. But I will have this, because before peace, there must be destruction, there must be war, and through the ashes rises happiness and release, and I will fight this pig, and I guess I fight this pig at Wrestling is Fun on November 1st, so, you know, it's a big day for me, and I train extra hard. And, you know, I uptake my buttermilk, you know, to 2 gallons a day. And I eat the whole horse versus half horse every day. You know, it's what it takes to beat Pig. Because Pig is very strong. He's very mean. But I am Thunder Frog, and I will not step down. I promise you this.
Now,
sorry, it gets me so...
Don't apologize.
Yeah, trust me, I understand here. I certainly do understand. Now, the one thing that... You've been in America, you said, 3, almost 4 years. Now, your diet hasn't changed all that much from Estonia. Now, is that because American diets aren't as good for you on a nutritional basis?
You know, I don't want to say that, you know. I don't want to get into, you know, GMOs and all that other hoopla, you know. I don't believe America's diets are bad, but I believe that they are ran by, you know, money and profit and that is most important, you know, and in the American people, you know, they're worked to the bone, you know. You know, you work 10-hour day, you know, you get home and you have nothing left in you. And you look in cupboards and you say, oh, I guess we have Hot Pocket kids, you know, and it's not good, you know, it's not good for kids. And I don't blame Americans, I just blame the everything's fast, everything must be now, you know. And I try not to prescribe to society. You know, to that way of life at all. So, you know, I have guy, you know, that he's in Maine. He has horse farm, and I only eat sick horses. I promise you this. You know, I have strong belly, and I only eat sick horses. They say, hey, I'm gonna put horse at a glue factory. Or is Thunder Frog going to eat it and become strong and punch Pig in face? So I eat horse and buttermilk. Oh man, oh, I love buttermilk.
Sounds like a better diet than most Americans, especially I have.
You know, it's hard, you know. You know, people are busy, you know. Americans, it's hard, you know. And it's okay, you know. If you can have, you know, two good meals, good clean meals a week, it's in a step of right, you know, direction. You know, you have to understand, you know, our bodies are temples, you know. They're not just vessels, and you have to treat them like, you know, you would want to be, you know, treated. And, you know, you put poison in body dies. So you must keep poison out the body. And I cannot say that I don't, you know, indulge in, you know, a bottle of vodka here and there and enjoy with, you know, good friends. But, you know, see, everything in moderation is good, you know. Hello?
Oh, still here. I'm sorry, I was on mute. I apologize.
I thought we lost Tina.
Okay.
No.
I felt like Hammer left me again.
No, we're here with you. We're here with you. We won't leave you.
No, we're not leaving you like the Hammer. So, what's your next date? What do you have coming up on your wrestling agenda?
You know, I travel to Indiana and I wrestle at Wrestling Is Heart. And this date is October 19th, you know. Wrestling Is Heart is becoming one of my favorite promotions. Good people out in Midwest. I love Midwest. Hopefully Thunder Frog Wahi in America will make Midwest home once again. One day, you know, it might be good for Thunder Frog, you know. He's good people out there, and you know what's in the Midwest? A lot of potatoes and a lot of cows. So, you know, I think Thunder Frog might, you know, be happy. But I'm going to have to say I'm wrestling Trip Cassidy. I wrestled him a few weeks ago. He beat me. We had a barn burner, literally, in a barn. There was fire and everything. And you know, you can find this on smartmarkvideo.com. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Thunder Frog, I think I even made Trip Cassidy poop pants because, you know, it was good match. I break him good, but he came up with win. And, you know, Thunder Frog is going to go back and take win back and punch this Trip Cassidy right in the face even harder next time. And
good.
Then, you know, I'm very excited. And then October 27th, I'd be back at Wrestling Is Cool. I'm not sure who I wrestle, but either way, Thunder Frog is ready and ready to win. Because, you know, winning means more buttermilk, and more buttermilk means stronger Thunder Frog, and stronger Thunder Frog means more peace for a universe.
Yes. Now, I'm not sure where that's going to take place. You might have to find a barn for that. But moving right along. What?
Nothing.
He was talking about barns. He was talking about things. Anyway, so Estonian Thunder Frog, I do have another question. Now,
yes,
you had this very unique training regimen of putting a cow on your back, climbing goats and cows, and climbing up a mountain. How can you train like that here in America?
You know, it's hard. It's very hard, you know. If I want to train that way, you have to go to, you know, Colorado, and it's very far for Thunder Frog, you know, because there's not very many mountains. So here in America, I hit the steam. I steam very much, lots. It keeps me, you know, it keeps my mind sharp, my blood clean. And that's a lot of training. Thunder Frog is I'm big in sambo. My mother and father. I don't know who my father is, but my mother, you would tell me, she'd say, your father was sambo champion of Russia, and he put many men down, and you know now I train sambo. And you know, it's big to me. I like, I like physical. I like hurting people, you know, and I have to, if people don't want to have peace, then I show them how to have peace. You break them down and then you pick them up and say, are you ready for peace? You know, and this is what I do. And
now,
I like to fight, you know, this is in my blood, you know, I fight war, you know, I fight sadness and I fight for peace.
I do have a question, and Dan, you can ask your question after this. Does the name Fedor mean anything to you?
Oh,
as far as your father? Possibly? No, are we on to something here?
I don't know who my father was. My mother tell me father great man, you know, and you know, I have reason to believe father is thunder gods. You know, he has very much power because there's no reason Thunder Frog should be able to lift hammer, and I can lift hammer. So you know, Fedor, you know, I'm sure he's not dead. You know, I would be okay with this, but, you know, that, you know, if not, I would love to get in ring and wrestle with Fedor, you know, whether it be MMA or pro wrestling, I fight Fedor, you know, I have no quarrels about that. I would love to punch, you know, that, you know, how do you say, you know, he's, what, the Iron Fist, you call him, or in his face, you know, No, not father. Where is Fedor? You know, I have not heard of for him in a long time.
I believe he retired. Omega, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, maybe Fedor should step out of retirement and fight Thunder Frog in ring. I think that would be good draw, wouldn't it?
I think it would be.
I don't think Estonian he's officially
Thunder
retired.
Frog. Huh?
So I don't think Fedor officially retired.
I think he secretly wrestles death matches underground with glass taped to fists.
I believe this is
his whole thing, you know. He's mean man, you know. And like Ken Shamrock, oh man, I would love to step in ring with him. You know, I'm a big admirer of physical submission, break man down, wrestling and fighting. This makes Thunder Frog. He draws blood into hearts and makes them want to just, you know, break. You know, Thunder Frog, very sharp, you know. I adapt to American wrestling style very well, but, you know, don't underestimate Thunder Frog. I can kick your head off and put elbow through eye. I promise you this.
Estonian. Thunder Frog, I have a serious question for you. You seem to have a mission set for world peace. If you wrestle all these years and you don't get world peace, do you think you would have missed your quest?
You know, that's a tough question. You smart man. I like you. I think Thunder Frog keep going, you know, and hope if Thunder Frog, you know, God forbid, you know, Thunder Frog don't, you know, make peace across, you know, universe and world, somebody else will pick up hammer and say, I finished Thunder Frog's quest. And, you know, that's okay with me, you know. As long as I make impact, as long as I change hearts from black to happiness, you know, this is good day for Thunder Frog. So I don't think I will ever stop, and I don't think there failure is option. Because as long as I crumble doing what I'm put here to do, which is wrestle for peace and spread the word of, you know, pro wrestling and happiness, I think it will be a success. And, you know, and I think wrestling is, you know, the whole entire wrestling is network. He's allowed Thunder Frog to do this, and it's big hearts to me, you know. It means a lot. And, you know, I don't think Thunder Frog can fail. is not fair. It's not in cards. I will not fail. I promise you this.
Yeah, you definitely made an impact with us tonight, sir. I appreciate that.
Oh, you guys have been pleasure. You mean a lot to me. Thunderfrog loves this. You guys are very, very nice. Very, very professional, you know. I've done lots of podcasts. Great people, you know, but, you know, sometimes Thunderfrog, he blows larger than life, and people act like, you know, hey, I'm in God presence. I don't know what to do. And you guys have treated me like you know human, and that means a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. That certainly does mean a lot to us as well. Now, where can the fine people follow you on this journey?
Hey, Estonian Chief Frog, Twitter, you should check me out, you know. I have lots to say, you know, ask Thunderfrog question, Thunderfrog answer question. You know, smartmarkvideo.com, you know, literally, I have every United States match on smartmarkvideo.com. Well, maybe not every, but a lot, you know, and it's good. Because you buy Vitio, Thunderfrog drink buttermilk, Thunderfrog spread peace, and it's good. You know, you keep following the word of independent wrestling. You want Thunderfrog in your promotion? You tell, hey Booker, hey Gabe, you know, book Thunderfrog. He can wrestle. You know, he's frog style. He's good. You know, and he wrestles for peace. And Thunderfrog will do it. I wrestle for anyone. I wrestle death match even. You know, no, just kidding. I don't like that. That scared me. But, you know, I would, you know, as long as, you know, there's, you know, big, heavy, you know, 30 pounds of gold online, you know what I could do with 30 pounds of gold? Oh, man, we disco all night. You guys come to disco. Princesses come to disco. Oh, it'd be so good. Oh, this is what Thunderfrog needs. It needs big, heavy belt to say, Thunderfrog, his word is gospel. His word is what he says and what he does, and it's beautiful. But, you know, Estonian T-Frog, Twitter, you follow me, you ask me where I'm at, and I say, hey, I'm here. Come see me, princess. We disco.
I love it. Estonian Thunderfrog, I want to thank you for this time that you gave us.
It has been an amazing pleasure.
And not only
thank you, gentlemen. It's been more than pleasure for me. You guys are sweethearts.
You are welcome back anytime, sir. And
oh,
thank you again.
You tell me, you give me date, I'll be back. I love it. Thank you, guys.
Okay, you have a great night or day, wherever
you
are.
American Horror next. Oh, I'm so excited.
Amazing that wherever he is calling from right now had the better phone connection than anybody we've ever talked to.
It's good.
It's good. It's very good. Oh, man, he's awesome. That's awesome.
I told you when
and I'm
I
telling,
you
go ahead.
Know,
no, please.
But I told you when I originally booked the Estonian Thunderfrog that this would be a game changer, Dan.
That dude.
International.
Did not let me down. Did not let me down. Hashtag buttermilk, hashtag princesses.
Oh, the buttermilk. I forgot to ask him the buttermilk question. But
I
think
I think
we pretty much covered it.
Watching some of his matches on YouTube.
He's good.
Jesus.
He's
not a tiny guy at all.
I told you.
Ugh. Amazing. Amazing. Thunder Frog is amazing. Go follow him on Twitter, Estonian T Frog, and look him up on YouTube. He's amazing talent right now.
I certainly do agree. That's why I got him on. Because, you know, I just thought he would entertain the people, spread the message of peace, Dan.
Ugh. I'm going to start using buttermilk.
And disco.
And disco.
Why not? Why not? But Omega. Omega?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
He's not dead. Good.
Okay.
I'm not dead yet.
Are you ready, my friend?
What? Were we going to ask him about that thing first?
Oh, yes. Omega. Omega. You on your travels, as you are in Tennessee now. For business. What exactly happened when you went to through the airport?
Apparently the TSA has not seen a whole lot of podcast mics. it wasn't like I got searched or anything, but I had my mic in my bag. And so I put it through the X-ray machine. I take my laptop out, so I have my laptop with me. So they pull a laptop through, no problem. But I have my podcast mic in my backpack. I didn't take it out separately. And so they stopped me. They stopped me after I went through the X-ray machine and said, "Is this your bag?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Or you got to run it through again." So they run it through again. And the guy's looking at it. He says to another guy, he pulls him over. He says, "Does that look like a radar gun to you?" So, of course, they pull it out. The guy comes, "Is this your bag?" I'm like, "Yes, can you check?" "I'm going to need to check it." I'm like, "Okay, check it. Go for it."
Did you tell him at any point it's a microphone?
Not till he pulled it out of the bag and said, what is this? I'm like, it's a microphone.
So you didn't know by pulling it out of the bag that it was a microphone?
No.
Oh, genius.
So they had to take it and run it through again. And apparently the third time when they run it through separately, they were fine with it. But
they had to run it through again.
Yeah, they had to run it three times just to make sure that it wasn't like laced with Semtex or something. I don't know.
Mr. Green, please see the office. Research, please.
We're going to need a cavity search.
I was hoping that
Mr. Green, please
it ended.
Run over.
I was hoping that it ended with you getting tased, but.
I'm not taking my mic out. You know who I am.
This is freedom of the press.
I'm Chris Green. I'm on Hell in a Cell Radio. Don't you know who I am?
I'm a big deal.
Indeed.
I'm a damn.
Unfortunately, your anger did not get the best of you in this
no,
case.
No, not this time.
That would have been great.
You son of a bitch!
Damn you!
Second Amendment.
Anyway, it's time to get serious because are you ready, Omega?
Wait. Okay, now I'm ready.
Well, tonight on Fox Sports 1, the home of the Brazilian UFC cards, we had another humdinger, didn't we? Did you happen to catch any of this?
I caught the first fight between TJ Dillashaw and Usmar Pereiras and Rafael Assunção. And then I've just had the pleasure of witnessing Damian Maia versus Jake Shields. So,
let's talk a little bit about this. The only one I've been able to see, as we've been on air for most of the card. Well, not most of the card. I guess I could have watched 2 hours, but whatever. I did get to see Paul Harries put on a leg lock like a pit bull and defeated Mike Pierce by submission. Let's talk about that, because we're going to talk about it longer than it took. 31 seconds and a heel hook, and people are complaining he kept it on too long.
Yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
I'm not sure about that. But, I mean, you get leg locked in 30 seconds. You whatever. You got beat. You know, it's so hard to say, did he hold it on long or not? You know, unless it was completely terribly obvious, then we'll just have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, he gets very hyped up, Paul Harris.
He does.
And, you know, God bless his heart. God bless his heart. He loves to fight. As much as Estonian Thunder Frog wants to spread peace to the world.
Yeah.
Paul Harris wants to break somebody's ankle.
Well, he did it. he did it fairly quickly. So.
Yes, 31 seconds. So where does this put Paul Harris now? He's in a new... He's in a new weight class, so where does this put him?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure Mike Pierce is a huge feather in his cap. But, I mean, he certainly can keep going. I mean, as you said, he's an exciting fighter. He gets hyped up. I mean, I think UFC is doing like 13 Brazil cards next year. So,
really?
I'm sure we'll see him on one of those.
Yeah, Paul Harris, though, I thought for a while he was going to be a contender in the light heavyweight division. So now, where is he now? Middleweight, is it?
Yeah, he dropped.
No, he's
out.
A welterweight. He's a no. Wait, what the hell am I looking?
He was.
No, he's a welterweight. He was a middleweight. Now he's down to welterweight.
He's a middleweight. Yes, right. He was at 185.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's a huge cut for him. And people said he didn't look that great. Because of the weight cut. Apparently he dropped 20 pounds in the last 24 hours.
That's just not good for anybody. I'm sorry. It's just not a good... That's a lot of weight to cut in 24 hours.
I certainly would agree. There was a catch weight, and it looks like Matt Hamill still can't get things going as he returns.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's... I don't think I really expected to. I didn't see this fight, but... And Thiago Silva has looked somewhat resurgent in recent fights, and Hamill has not looked at all good since coming back to the UFC, coming back out of retirement. I mean, I don't know if they're going to cut Hamill because he does have a good story, and he's a good ambassador, but he just hasn't done anything in quite a long time. Even for Thiago Silva, who's not making any noise in the division, I don't see a win over Hamill propelling him anywhere other than to the next Brazil card.
Yeah. But a big one, the co-main event, Kim defeating Silva with a KO. So this kind of shakes things up.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Silva at one time was seriously considered a stun gun as a guy who usually comes to fight pretty solidly, but he's won some decisions, lost to Damian Maia last year, but his win over Eric Silva is a huge feather in his cap, something that you can see propelling him up the rankings, whether or not it's at that weight class. He's got a lot of guys ahead of him at that weight class, but it certainly helps picking up any kind of KO win, especially after some lackluster decisions in previous fights, is got to be helpful.
Well, not only that, I mean, he really hasn't looked good since Condit nailed him into next week.
Yeah, I mean, he's picked up wins, but nobody like huge. Other Sayra Bahazarada is a good fighter, but you know, the decision wins aren't going to get you on main cards very often, so.
Now, a surprising thing happened. Damian Maia, known for his Brazilian jiu-jitsu, knocking out, apparently, Jake Shields.
He didn't knock him out, no.
That's what I have here. I'm looking at the official results on Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia. that's a poor choice because...
What happened?
Jake Shields won a split decision.
Really?
versus Damian Maia, which really I don't quite understand the split decision because Jake Shields pretty much dry humped Damian Maia
the entire time. Okay, I have it here now. Pretty much.
It looks
like a split decision 48-47, 48-47 and 47-48.
Yeah, it wasn't a good fight. Wasn't a good fight for Maia, who really needed a win to really make his statement for a title shot. And now he is going to flounder. Now, he was the number four welterweight. He was seriously considered a title contender after Johnny Hendricks. Because you know, the guys ahead of him, Carlos Condit, already fought George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
And Rory McDonald won't fight George St. Pierre. So, you know, he was a serious contender. And Jake Shields just wrestled him, out-wrestled him for five rounds, pretty much what happened. He did have some flashes of offense, so he didn't get totally dominated, but he certainly didn't do enough to win. Didn't generate any kind of reasonable offense that would that really put Shields in any kind of trouble. And he paid for it. I'm surprised the judging was that close. I was kind of only half watching it because I was listening to the Estonia Thunderfrog, but I seriously, that was a very disappointing fight for Damian Maia.
Well, Jake Shields, do you really think he gets another chance? Because he is really a John Fitch, if you ask me.
Jake Shields is so
horrible.
Much worse than John Fitch.
Horrible.
So much worse than John Fitch.
Well, you have a thing for John Fitch. Let's just get that out of the way.
I don't have a thing for John Fitch. I have.
You have a thing for Yushin Akami as well.
I have a thing
you
for top 10 fighters that don't deserve to be cut after one loss. That's what
look,
I have a thing
look,
for.
I have a thing for exciting fights. I don't care. You know what? Dan Hardy has a lifetime contract. It's ironclad. Michael Bisping as well. Even though he's not that exciting. I mean, the last fight that Bisping had that I thought was really good was against that guy, Miller, the goofy Miller.
Dan Miller.
No, not Dan Miller. The other one. The one that was in Elite X.
Oh, Mayhem.
Yeah, Jason Miller.
Yeah.
That was the last fight. But.
Yeah, no, you're... Yeah, well, you know, Dan Hardy and Michael Bisping may have lifetime contracts, but they also have career-threatening injuries. So.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, definitely.
So, take that for what you will.
Detached retina. Well, yeah. I mean, okay, well, that's a topic we can talk about. I mean, do you go out there and leave it all on the line for glory, or do you fight safe and have a longer career?
It's a fair question. I don't think it needs to be necessarily one or the other, though. I think this is a meritocracy, and I think that if you are winning, then winning should mean that you don't get cut. And if you lose one after you've won a bunch of fights, it shouldn't mean that you get cut. But, you know, as far as your position on the card, yeah, winning exciting fights get you higher on the card. I'm completely fine with that kind of scenario. But cutting a guy like John Fitch or Yushin Okami after one loss when they're top 10 fighters and you want to say that you have the best fighters in the world, I don't agree with that.
Well, here's the thing. With Fitch, he did suffer a few losses before he was cut, correct?
I think he was on one loss.
I thought it was two, but he did fall through the rankings.
He did lose.
Yeah, he did fall. He was like number 10 ranked at the time that he was cut. And then, I mean, are you going to keep a highly paid guy around to be a gatekeeper? I mean, the same thing goes for Frank Mir. Frank Mir, he may retire if he loses to Overeem. That came out this week as well.
Well, I mean, you're saying you don't have need for gatekeepers?
I'm not saying you don't have a need, but highly paid gatekeepers. Clay Guida isn't that highly paid. He's a gatekeeper. We can agree on that. But he's
yes.
not nearly as highly paid as, say, a Frank Mir or a Yushin Akami or John Fitch.
No, I mean...
And we can agree, before... I'm cutting you off. And we can agree...
You're, yes.
But we can agree on Fitch has somewhat floundered since he went to World Series of Fighting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, we can agree that John Fitch has, since his loss to Damian Maia, one loss, he beat Eric Silva, and then he lost to Damian Maia. He looked very bad against Josh Berkman. I mean, he got choked out in 41 seconds. Mm. Absolutely looked horrible.
Yes.
Complete agreement with that. But at the time of his cut, he was still a top 10 fighter, and he lost to a guy who was before tonight number four. You know.
No, I get you. I get your argument, but I can see the U.S. It is a business.
I understand the business argument as well. I just don't necessarily agree with it if you're trying to run a legitimate sport.
Fair enough.
And that's just my opinion on it. You know, it's one thing if you can't agree to a guy, if you can't get a guy who's not in your organization to agree to a contract, that's one thing. If you've got a guy on contract, he's still got fights left in his contract, and you release him when he's a top 10 fighter, then I think you're putting into question whether or not you have the best fighters in the world.
Well.
That's your own choice.
That was very distinct. Hey, you know who won this week? Congo and Bellator.
Yes.
Look at him getting a KO, looking pretty good.
You know, I'm not sure that Congo gets another shot in UFC. Maybe he does. The thing with Congo, if I'm Congo, I'm hoping that there's a late injury to someone, and then I can step in and maybe pick up a win.
There you go. I get that.
But I don't think that a guy with as many fights as Congo has. As many high-profile losses as Congo has, I don't think he necessarily gets a shot at back at the UFC unless something falls his way.
Very good. Now, Omega, I think it's time that we play a little Mystery Men in waiting for our next guest. Of course, it's Ryan Hollis. Now, what do you know about Ryan Hollis before we go to the Mystery Men?
Well, we talked to Ryan Hollis last year when he was just coming off a win for Legacy Fighting Championships. Since then, he's won a couple fights, and I think he's tried out for the Ultimate Fighter. And then this coming weekend, he has a very high-profile fight against an undefeated Olympic gold medalist wrestler in Henry Cejudo for Legacy Fighting Championships. So
that is very high-profile, and as I was saying to Dan earlier, it's a high-profile fight because none of those Olympians that are associated with MMA right now have suffered a loss.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, that's Daniel Cormier. He's part of that group, and Cejudo is another one.
Yeah, I mean, these are world-class wrestlers, absolutely.
However, as we talked to Ryan before, we do know he has a very dangerous ground game. So
He recently picked up a TKO with strikes.
Yes.
Granted, it was an up kick, but...
Oh, my God. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
That up kick. My goodness. You don't see that.
No, you don't. You don't generally see that.
The guy, as I was explaining to Dan earlier, he just was too aggressive, the guy on top, and he came right into it, and see you later.
Yeah, that was you could tell that the guy was not too terribly experienced in MMA. he just did the exact thing you're not supposed to do when a guy has up kicks like that.
My God.
You know?
I think and I'm not just saying this because he's on the line now, but I think Ryan Hollis has a very good chance for a win and to get a lot of notoriety out of this.
He certainly got a challenge in front of him.
It is a challenge. I'm not saying that. And a lot of people know Cejudo, but we're going to talk to him after his walkout music. And I found this on YouTube. I believe it was specially made for his Legacy Fighting Championship 14 fight, but it still makes a lot of sense. I like the lyrics, and we're going to have Ryan on right after this.
He told the guy, he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes, we just battled our professional lives. It all comes down to today.
myself the best way you can, but still I'ma drop you where you stand. I don't think they understand. I'm hearing people say that he's the man. Well, knocking out the man is the plan. Boy, I got hands. Defend yourself the best way you can, but still I'ma drop you where you stand. I don't think they understand. I'm hearing people say that he's the man. What's tapping out the man is the plan. Soon as they lock the cage, I guarantee that I'ma make them quit. Kid goes by danger, but he's never seen the face of it until tonight. It's hard hooks when I swing wide, put him straight to sleep. He'll be waking up ringside. The champ known as Riptide was thrown to never miss you. My style is like a pit bull, pistol cross with jujitsu. I make the name official. This one here is for my folks. Once I squeeze you in that choke, you'll be reaching for your coat. Boy, I got hands. Defend yourself the best way you can, but still I'ma drop you where you stand. I don't think they understand. I'm hearing people say that he's the man. Well, knocking out the man is the plan. Boy, I got hands. Defend yourself the best way you can.
All right, we are now joined by Ryan Riptide Hollis. And Ryan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. How about y'all?
All right, we are doing well as well. Not as good as you. I saw the hotel room. It looks great. I'm telling you, this is the biggest. You're going into the biggest fight of your life. Now, how does it feel this close? Of course, you were cutting weight today. Weigh-ins are tomorrow, I assume. How are you feeling?
Oh, I feel awful. No, I'm good. No, I don't feel that bad. This one actually, it wasn't that bad. It's supposed to be at our fight was supposed to be at 125, but I found out last Friday that this whole time supposedly is supposed to have been at 130. So I was sitting here at 130, you know, thinking I was gonna have to cut to 125, and so I ate a hamburger and drank a big bottle of Powerade, and I'm good.
Well, how do you they miss that? I mean, do you have a catch weight fight now? I don't understand.
I don't understand it either. They've been telling me for months. I mean, almost 2 months. I've hassled these guys. I've been on multiple occasions. You know, to be like, are you guys sure? Because I see online that it says 130, and I don't want to sit here and starve myself and get down to where I'm walking around at 130, thinking I got to cut to 125 when I could be walking around at 140, cutting down to 130, and of course they told me every time, no, it's 125, 125, and, then I get the contract and it says 130, I just got that last weekend too, because I've been asking for that forever, and, bam, it pops up, and and what's funny is whenever I asked about it, everybody was so sure, like, oh, no, man, it's 125, this guy, this guy's an Olympic wrestler. He's, they're expert weight cutters, and that just makes me laugh because I'm thinking, well, then why the fuck are we fighting at 130, So, and if you read all these articles on this guy, everybody talks about, this guy's the next flyweight fighter, and, this guy, he's the next big thing at 125, but the guy hasn't fought at 125. He has four fights at 135, and in this one he's fighting at 130, so... I think he's a 130 fighter or 135 fighter trying to sneak in fights with 125 fighters, trying to make 125 fighters come up to 130 to fight him.
Ryan, where do you have to put your mind to cut weight like that?
Man, it's cutting weight is really not that hard. You stick your ass in the sauna and it the weight just starts shedding off. Your body holds a lot of water weight that you wouldn't even imagine. I've cut 8 pounds in an hour before my first amateur title fight. I showed up 8 pounds overweight because my scale had been lying to me the whole time. And I went out in the parking lot and ran around and got in the car with the heater on, and I cut 8 pounds right there. And if you ever seen a picture of me, I'm skin and bone. You wouldn't think I could just shit off 8 pounds like that.
Jesus, will that ever have a negative effect on your body, or is that just normal stuff your body can go through?
Well, it did for a while. For my first few fights, it made, but then I got used to it, and actually I prefer it. If I don't cut that much weight, I don't feel as good, because I cut the weight and. I get my body eating good stuff like, salads or soup, not really heavy food. And And then I feel lighter when I go in there to fight because it shrinks my stomach and I feel faster. And, you know, so I think it helps me, really, if anything.
So, Ryan, since the last time we talked to you, we talked to you last November, I believe. And you've got a couple fights since then. I believe you had a fight with James Gabriel.
Yeah.
Where you landed a pretty sick looking neck crank in that fight. How did that come about?
Yeah. Oh man, that fight. That's not one of my proud and shining moments. That fight. That guy. They had me a guy to fight for a couple months, and that guy decided to back out a few days before we fought. And this guy James Gabriel stepped up and was like, "Well, you know, I'll fight." And you know, the guy had like a 1-5 record, and all of his fights were lost by Renekton choke. And so, you know, props to him for stepping up. I knew whenever he went in there, I was gonna, you know, I could, you know, if things went wrong, I can just grab a hold of his neck. And you know, so you know, I had the Renekton choke, and I was thinking to myself, you know, man, you know, all of his losses have been by Renekton choke. So I just kind of snuck around the front and kind of put him in a headlock, and I wasn't gonna tap him out. I was just gonna drag him across the ring and maybe go for like a, you know, a DDT or whatever, or a bulldog. but he ended up tapping. I wasn't even squeezing that hard. I think he was, you know, more nervous, you know, that I had to move on him than the pressure that I had applied on his neck.
That's interesting. I didn't realize it wasn't that tight, because it looked pretty tight from obviously I'm looking at that YouTube video, but it looked pretty tight from my perspective.
Yeah, no, I really just grabbed him around the neck because I was just gonna drag him across the ring and I was literally gonna bulldog him. I was just gonna drop to the ground and, you know, straight old school WWF bulldog on his face, you know. But like I said, he tapped out, you know. So.
So the other fight I saw you've had since we talked to you was Randy Villarreal, and
yeah,
you won that fight pretty handily with an up kick. How did that fight feel? Your first TKO by punch? No, I guess it's not your first TKO by strike.
No, that was my first KO, like just straight knockout. But I had a TKO in my second fight where I had went to make a kung fu pose and the guy rushed at me and I caught him coming in. And but that guy, Randy Villarreal, I was actually really nervous when I fought him because, you know, he had fought for Legacy before and he fought Jimmy Flick. He's fought all these great martial artists and, you know, his record wasn't great, but also he was a replacement too, but he was a 3-week replacement. And this guy had 20, that was his 21st professional MMA fight. So he's not one of those guys that, you know, is undefeated or nothing. His record was like 10-11 or something, you know, half and half. But, you know, he's been in there. So whenever, you know, whenever he came at me, you know, when people stand up above me, they don't realize, you know, that I work that position, you know, that position specifically in the gym. Because, you know, me being small, I'm going to go in there with these dudes and they're going to try to take me down and they're going to try to pound on me. So I'll sit there, you know, on the bag and I'll work specifically laying on my back and, you know, shooting kicks straight up or, you know, getting up on my elbows and throwing a heel, you know, heel hook from, you know, from the ground. I, you know, my first amateur fight, I literally leaped off the ground and kicked the dude in the head. And I got that on, you know, YouTube, but it's just really shitty quality. You know, it's horrible to watch, but, you know, I've done that in several fights, you know, hit people with up kicks and stuff, just never as devastating.
Now, after that, you had a little bit of a hiatus from fighting, and you went to Las Vegas for the Ultimate Fighter tryouts.
Yeah.
Now, how was that experience, first of all? And then I have a follow-up.
Man, it was great. That was probably, you know, I really felt like I had that, like that was my time. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. Obviously, you know, I was meant to come and fight Henry Cejudo. I had battles left, you know, before I got into the UFC. So, but it was great, man. I went up there and there was UFC fighters walking around. You know, a damn, you know, Dana White walking by me back and forth, Joe Silver walking by me. You know, I was sitting there, and I went into the room. You know, they split everybody into groups, and you go through rounds. Like, the first round, you do grappling, and everybody's sitting around the mat, and they call your name up, and you grapple. And then, you know, you go really hard for a minute. And the point isn't really to submit them. It's just to try your hardest. Like, if you're working, they could pick you. But, because, you know, they just want to see people who are, you know, trying their best and going for it. You know, and then they have these two papers that, you know, one says, or these two little file things that they have sitting on the desk, and one's like, make it, and one is not make it. And they take your file, and after they watch you, they put the, you know, the paper in whichever one, you know, whether they want you to move on or whether they don't. And, you know, so I went in there and grappled. And all these guys, you know, this is a 135 tough, and I'm a 125 fighter, so I'm going in there with guys, and these guys are walking in there like 150 to 170. I seen a guy weighing at 170 pounds, or 170 pounds. Mm. And I came and I weighed exactly at 130. You know, so, but I made it to the second round, and I felt like I, you know, to the striking round, I felt like I did good in there. But I didn't have my coach with me, and they had some guy, like, holding the pads for me, and he was doing simple shit like, oh, jab, you know, jab. Straight punch, jab, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm wanting to throw spinning heel kicks and jumping flying kicks, and, you know, so I wasn't able to perform at the best of my abilities, but it was cool, man. It was all sorts of UFC fighters, like Cub Swanson and Diego Brandao, all these, like, John Dotson, like all these Ultimate Fighter winners that, I mean, just standing around like normal people.
Now, you did have a conversation with Joe Silva. From what I remember seeing on your Facebook.
Yeah.
What was that like? He came up to you and just share that story if you care to.
Man, there's a partial video of it online. Like, I was, you know, we was in the second round. That's after the striking, they were calling names. And, you know, this is all I needed. I just needed to get to the interviews. Like, if I got called, then bam, I would be in the interviews, and that's whenever, you know, I can make it onto the show. And, you know, they're sitting there calling the names, and it got down to the very last name. You know, and my name is Ryan Hollis, and I had no idea, but right when I got to the last name, supposedly there was a guy in there named Ryan Hall. And whenever he called the name, you know, I'm sitting there already praying, you know, hoping to God, because I've already, you know, spent like $2,000 on the trip of plane tickets and hotel and renting a car and, you know, then maxed out my credit card and, And, you know, he calls out the name, like, Ryan Hall, you know, and I'm like, oh, no, I didn't make it. And, you know, that crushed me, you know, because for a split second, I really believed I made it. And, you know, so I kind of, you know, went down on my knees and, you know, I'm not going to lie, I teared up, you know, because I felt like, you know, my dream was just yanked from me. I'm almost teased, you know, but, you know, and then I got up and he came up to me and he's like, man, look, he's like, look, don't worry about it. He's like, look, you're young, and I'm going to tell you right now, the only reason that you're not getting picked is that this season we're doing half boys and half girls, which means that's half the chance that you have to make it on the show this season, because we have to divide the guys with the girls. That's half as many guys that can't make it on the season. And since we only have half the guys that we can pick from, we have to go with the guys who have records like 20-4 and, you know, 15-6. We can't, you know, pick, you know, a guy whose record is 4-2 over a guy whose record is, you know, 21 and whatever. So, you know, he told me just to go get fights, and that he had seen me fight on XQ before, seen the banana walk out, whatever, just to keep going, and I'm going to end up there someday, you know, so, you know, but, it, you know, it was, like I said, it was humbling, man, because, you know, that's Joe Silva, man. You don't have to come up to me and say anything to me, you know. He could have laughed at me for all, you know, he cares.
Mm-hmm. Did he give you any hope for another chance at the Ultimate Fighter, like maybe at a 125 level, or and let's assume they don't get a 125, would you go up to 145 to try it?
Oh no, 145 would be 145 would be insane, man. Because 135, like I said, there was literally even a guy that went up there with me. He weighed in at 170, because you don't have to weigh in at 135 when you're trying out. Like, once you're in the house, then you have to, like, shed weight while you're in the house to make your fight, just like in real life. But, so, you know, there were guys there, you know, just humongous. I'm sitting there looking like a toothpick walking around, you know, all these guys looking at me drooling, you know, like, oh, that's the guy I want to go with, you know. But, you know, so if I went to 45, Jesus, you know, I don't even think I'd make it to the grappling round. They might stomp me out, in the ballroom. But I've been waiting for a 25. That's actually why I went for the 35, because I'm getting impatient, and they've had 18 seasons and not won 125. I don't even know if they're going to do it.
Well, let's move on to the more imminent fight in your future. Let's talk about your fight this Saturday against Henry Cejudo. Cejudo is a 2008 Olympic gold medalist, and this is probably your highest profile fight of your career. How do you feel walking into this fight, co-main event?
Well, obviously co-main event because of him. nobody's looking at this fight like, oh, man. Let's go watch that Ryan Hollis fight, unless you personally know me, unless you've seen me fight, then maybe, but all the attention's on this guy, and that's nothing I'm not used to. Whenever I fought Matt Schnell, everybody was all, oh, Matt Schnell, just like my walkout song, talking about the other guy being the man, but I'm going to come and I'm going to try to knock you out, so that's a role that's not, it's not, how do you explain that? Yeah, I'm definitely used to it, It's every single fight that I have, I'm always a guy that people would think is going to get stomped and get my ass beat. And then I go in there and then it ends up being a hell of a fight. And people are like, oh, and then they forget like 2 months later. You can't really prepare mentally for, for that caliber of fight. I mean, the guy's an Olympic gold wrestler, even if I had trained for a year straight in wrestling, there's not much preparation you can do to prepare for a guy who won gold in the Olympics in wrestling, that's something that he's prepared for, more than a year, like a large amount of his life. So, I just go in there like I do my other fights. I just go in there and know that no matter what, I'm not going to die. Not this guy's going to kill me. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fight, my hardest fight that I fought yet. I'm going to try to put my hands on his face. And if he takes me down, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to try to discourage him, like I do in my other fights. I try to get in their head, make them feel like, that they just don't, that they can't hurt me, they can't finish me. They can sit there and do whatever, lay on top of me, but I'm going to make him feel like he's not doing much. But I don't know, man. There's like I said, there's not much preparation for it. I just go in there and, I'm always nervous. Like right before I walk out, I'm like, man, I don't want to get knocked out, or man, I don't want this guy to lay on me, or man, my wife and my kids watching, I'm going to get my ass beat, I'm going to go home, and, how am I going to be the man of the house when they just see me get my ass beat, that just pushes me. Whenever I get in there and the cage door shuts and he comes out swinging at me, the only thing that's running through my mind is, man, this guy's trying to hurt me, and if I don't defend myself, then he's going to hurt me. So, apart from, being worried about failing and, not making it to UFC or getting lost in my record, I just don't want to get hurt. So I kind of trick myself into getting in there. I'll walk down the walkway and I'm thinking, oh shit, it's really happening, and then I just kind of put that thought to the side and then I'll, put my ass in the cage. And then once the door shuts, it's like, okay, well now I can't get out. I'm stuck in here. And then he gets in there, it's like, okay, now this guy's coming in here, and he thinks he's going to just whip my ass. That's a lot of what goes through my mind. I prep myself mentally different ways. I'll sit there and I'll tell myself, oh, this guy thinks he can just beat me up, or, oh, this guy agreed to the fight, thinking he's just going to come in here and, whip my ass, I don't know, there's not much preparation. It's just the same. You just go in there like any other time and just, you just fight as hard as you can.
Do you think your submission background gives you a little bit more of an advantage than his previous opponents? Because he's basically taken down his opponents and pounded them out in a round or, less than 4 minutes. Does that submission base give you a little bit more hope to nullify his wrestling?
Yeah, no doubt. I was just sitting here in downstairs in the lobby, sitting there watching his tapes again. And I mean, I've watched so much tape on this guy. It's like the same four fights, but it's just I've watched him so many times. I'm just annoyed thinking about it. He does the same thing every fight. He comes out, he acts like he wants to strike, and the guys come out, they swing at him crazy, they run after him like full speed, and then he ducks. and takes him down right when he gets hit a couple times. You know, well, me, I'm not going to run at him like a damn madman. You know, I'm a counterpuncher. I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to make him try to throw a punch at me, and I'm going to punch him in the face. And, I never just ran it, you know, crazy at nobody. And when I did, you know, I stand my ground and I back up. I'm not just going to let him just duck under and, you know, just scoop me. But I don't know, man. It's like, you know, it's, I don't know. There's a lot to think about. Like, you know, I go online and I see all these fan talk, you know, these betting forums, like they got it 97% people think he's going to win, to 3% me. And, you know, people are online, you know, posting shit on my Facebook, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to get, you know, destroyed. And I'm like, you know, that's just a hand me out and yada, yada. And, you know, people, that's just, you know, people don't know me. People don't know that, you know, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fight. And, you know, even if he does beat me, which is very possible because anything can happen in MMA, you know, I'm nowhere near a pushover. You know, I've never gone in there and been stomped by anybody, you know. So I don't think that he understands how good of a fight he has lined up in front of him, actually.
Does the long layoff give you any concern?
It makes you a little nervous. You know, especially like, you know, I've had to go back. I'm not going to lie. I've had to go back a couple times and, you know, watch my videos and kind of reassure myself because, you know, I just got done changing camp and, you know, I train at 4 Ounce now, like, for the past 3 weeks because me and my team had some disagreements. And so, you know, I had to go back and watch some of my fights because, like you said, it's been a layoff and, you know, I kind of forgot myself. You know, I'm thinking, like, man, you know, what if I go in there and I think, you know, what if I go in there and I forgot some shit? You know, I go in there and I'm like, oh, you know, I lost that, you know, that fire, you know. But, you know, I watch the fights and, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, I can do this. You know, look how many times I've done this. I've had 21 fights. You know, it's going to be the same, man. It's, you know, regardless of his pedigree, a fight's a fight. You know, he can sit there and take me down, but, you know, when I'm punching him in the face, you know, it isn't wrestling. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a fight. But no, man, I'm not worried. I think the layoff was good because I've had time to heal some injuries. Like I just had my 4 wisdom teeth taken out a couple weeks ago, and one of my teeth was cracked in half, and I had like an exposed root, and it's been giving me pain for like 6 months, like horrible pain, just headaches, and like I went into my last 2 fights like tearing up as I'm walking out because of how bad the pain is from my mouth guard touching it. You know, so I got that tooth out, and man, instantly I felt great. Like I felt, you know, less worried. Like, okay, you know, at least I'm not in pain when I'm going in, you know, into the fight this time.
So, what would a win over Henry Cejudo mean to you?
Oh man, it's to me personally, it's just, I mean, that would just be, I don't know, that would be everything, you know, to be at 97% to 3% underdog. I mean, that's like, I think that's worse than, you know, Matt Serra GSP-1 or, you know, that's worse than, you know, when Weidman caught Silva. You know, I think that would be one of the biggest upsets of the year if people really paid attention, you know, to the fight and really knew who we were. And so, you know, just a chance to prove all of these big mouth internet, you know, wannabe tough guys who, you know, constantly tag me in posts and, you know, are talking about, oh, I'll bet money on this guy, you know, just to prove them wrong and just shove it in their face, you know. It's, man, it would mean, you know, of course, you know, there's a chance, you know, UFC could see me and Legacy's telling me if I win this, you know, then I could be getting a title shot in my next fight and, you know, all of that's nice or whatever, you know, the money's nice, but just getting to just put it, just stick it in everybody's face, like, yeah, you know, you bet against me. Now eat your words now, you know. So, I mean, it means a lot to me, man, in many different aspects. You know, it means food, you know, on the table for my baby, and you know, so it means a lot.
Yeah, I certainly do think you have a better chance than most people are giving you, simply based, as you said previously, on the submission skills you have. I mean, I really think you're very dangerous off your back. And I don't know if he knows that much about you. Sure, he's looking at tapes, but I'm not sure if he's seen everything that you have to offer. And that type of confidence, I think, could really help you in this case.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anybody, no matter, I mean, I've gone in there and I've overlooked people. And you know, the ones that I've overlooked are the ones that give me the toughest fights, because I sit there and I play around and then they end up taking me down. And, you know, that's anybody. You sit there and you overlook them, and most likely you're going to be in for a fight.
Yeah, so I think certainly he could be looking at it like a lot of people are, unfortunately, that this is just a gimme and he's on to bigger and better things. But I think you really do have a chance, and I want you to know that, how I feel about it. Now, as part of getting into Dallas, and you're in Houston, right?
Oh, no, I'm in Dallas right now.
Okay. But as part of getting into Dallas, you had a chance to cut weight with someone today. Who was that?
Holly Holm. She's a beast, man. She's like a world champion boxer, 4-0 in MMA. She had that devastating head kick KO in her last fight. I got to sit in the locker room with her last fight and get a picture with her and stuff, and they were really nice. And, you know, her, Greg Jackson, and Leonard Garcia were all there, and, you know, very nice people. But I went to cut weight, you know, at this 24-hour fitness, and I guess he is providing for fighters when we come down here. And, you know, she happened to be there, and we just sat there in the locker room and talked about, you know, cutting weight and, you know, previous fights and, you know, previous opponents who had weight troubles and just everything MMA, man. It was really nice, because she's a really genuine person, and her husband was really nice too, and, you know, took a picture for us, and, you know, which is very humble, because, you know, I feel awkward going up to the guy being like, hey, you know, hey, take a picture with your wife, you know? But, you know, yeah, I mean, I just want to take a picture with her, you know? But she was, I mean, they were very cool about it. Man, I don't know, I like them. They're very good. I mean, she's a good fighter, too.
Did she give you any last-minute advice, something to help you through this?
Oh, no. I mean, really, we wouldn't. I think that's the only thing we didn't talk about was our opponents, because she didn't really talk about her fight, you know, and I didn't talk about, I really didn't mention mine at all. We really just talked of, we talked about past weight cutting, you know, with trading, you know, info on, you know, what each other do, like, oh, have you tried Epsom salt, you know, weight cuts, or have you, you know, do you use Abilene when you weight cut, and, you know, how many pounds have you cut at once, and, you know, it was more or less, it was kind of like, how do you explain that? We were kind of comforting each other, you know, through talks of past weight cutting while we were suffering, you know, in the sauna. You know,
yeah.
We're sitting there trying not to think about how hot it is, you know, so we were just, you know, just jabbering it up.
Now, of course, this is Friday night. It's on Axis TV, your biggest fight. I know we covered it. How do you feel going into this? I mean, it really is the biggest fight of your career.
Yeah. I feel nervous. I feel excited. You know, I feel scared. I feel happy. You know, there's multiple emotions I feel. You know, like y'all were saying earlier, this guy, you know, the 2008 Olympic wrestlers who turned MMA, you know, Daniel Cormier, Ben Askren, you know, Henry Cejudo, and then there's somebody else, I forgot the other guy's name, but he's only like 2-1-0 or something, but all combined, their record overall in MMA is 36-0. So, you know, to be just this big of an underdog that I am, and then to be the first guy to beat one of these guys, you know, that that means more to me than you know, than the money, than the fame. You know, it means more to me than anything. It means it's proving to myself that you know what these guys saying aren't true. You know that I am a good fighter. You know, I'm not just some stepping stone for, you know, that people think I am, and you know like I said before, it gives me, you know, it gives me what I want, and that's to just, you know, shove it in just everybody's face. Like, yeah, you know, I'm hoping so many people just lose their money, you know, from all that talk of betting on this guy. And I just, man, it, I don't know, but I feel good, though. As far as, you know, weight and stamina, I feel great. Mentally, not really feeling anything right now, because I'm sitting in a hotel and it's, you know, pretty boring, and But I'm just excited. I seen him in the hotel like 45 minutes ago, maybe an hour ago. Looking pretty big. Dude looks like he's like 145, but he just made me more excited to fight him.
Did you have words, or you guys just kind of crossed paths?
I don't know. We did the old, I seen him first, and I tried to act like I didn't see him, and kind of look at him, my peripherals, and he turned, and then right when he seen me, he kind of looked down and turned around, and then his coach looked at me, and we went to walk around the corner by the elevators because we knew they were going to walk over there, so we just kind of sat there, and my boy pulled out his phone and was like, oh, snap a picture of me, and he walked by, and I just kind of like sat there and stared at me, and just, it was really, I think there's a lot of tension, because previous opponents in the past have, tried to wave or be like, hey, how you doing? Or, he didn't say nothing. He kind of had this pissy look on his face, so I think it's going to be one of them fights where it's not going to be very friendly.
I got you. I certainly will be watching on Access TV. That's this Friday night. It takes place at the Allen Event Center, so if you're in Dallas, Texas, or the surrounding area, make sure you get down there, because the whole card is really an amazing card. And you're in the co-main event, taking on an Olympic gold champion, and I just want to thank you for taking this time out and talking with us this close to this fight.
No, man, it's just fun. Thank you all once again for having me on here, man. I know I talk a lot, but like I said, I always appreciate y'all having me on here, and I love listening to y'all show, and I appreciate the love.
Yeah, certainly, and good luck, and bring one home for Team Riptide.
Thanks, man.
He told the guy, he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes.
Yourself the best way you can, but still I'ma drop you where you stand. I don't think they understand. I'm hearing people say that he's the man. Well, knocking out the man is the plan. Boy, I got hands. Defend yourself the best way you can, but still I'ma drop you where you stand. I don't think they understand. I'm hearing people say that he's the man. What's happening out the man is the plan. Soon as they lock the cage, I guarantee that I'ma make them quit. Kid goes by danger, but he's never seen the face of it until tonight. It's hard hooks when I swing wide. Put him straight to sleep, he'll be waking up ringside. The champ's known as Riptide, was thrown to never miss you. My style is like a pit bull, pistol, cross with jujitsu. I make the name official, this one here is for my folks. Once I squeeze you in that choke, you'll be reaching for your coat. Boy, I got hands, defend yourself the best way you can. But still, I'ma drop you where you stand. I don't think they understand. I'm hearing people say that he's the man. Well, knocking out the man is the plan. Boy, I got hands, defend yourself the best way you can.
You know, this all started over a banana suit. Best called him the Banana Man, and I'll tell you what, it started very simply. I put the video of Bass Rutten, of course, Inside MMA on Access TV. They profiled his fight at LFC 15, I believe it was, where he came out with a banana suit. That's one question I forgot to ask, if he was going to do anything special. Probably not, because he seems really focused and charged up for this fight. As I was saying while the music was playing, I really hope that he can come through and do this. I think he has a very good shot. This is really he is a step up in Cejudo's competition, quite frankly. And I think it's a test for both of them. And I think a lot of people are overlooking Ryan Hollis. And frankly, he had a few fights with smaller promotions. He had a few fights for LFC. I think he really has a good chance. Omega, how do you feel about this fight coming up Friday night on Access TV?
I actually agree with you. I think Ryan has more of a shot than people are giving him. Henry Cejudo, though, is a really high-caliber wrestler. He's got some pretty strong ground and pound. But I think Ryan, with his submission skills and his ability to turn things around, gives him a very good shot. And I'm excited to see see what happens.
Are you going to be tuning in, or you don't have access?
I don't get Access TV. I'm going to have to wait and see what happens and see if I can find it later.
Well, follow me on Folsom County, because I will be, like I said, the whole LFC card is amazing. I was just looking at it here a second ago, so let me go back to it. The main event, I believe, is a title fight, if I'm not mistaken. And that's Feist, who is undefeated, taking on Fiera. And that, oh, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. That's Paige taking on Benoit. And I believe it's some type of title fight. I'm not sure the details on that, but that's going to be a great main event. I have seen Benoit fight before. And no, Dan, it's not that Benoit.
I wasn't going to say
he's still on the history books. He has a 6-2 record, unlike the other Benoit.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's because he didn't kill his wife and son.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
I actually was going to let that one go this time.
But Cejudo and Hollis, that's the one I'm certainly looking for. And Holly Holm, who has made quite a name for herself, I believe her opponent that's listed, she has a different one. Erica Payas is her new opponent. I believe that was changed. Now, you might say, Erica, who are these people? Payas is the only woman to beat Cyborg. I'm not sure if you know that.
Whoa.
Yes.
That was a long time ago.
It was still a long time ago, but Okami made a name as being the last guy that, you know, beat Silva. So, well, until Wyman.
True. It's
so,
a Wyman.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what. Let's talk a little bit. Dan, I'm going to get you back into the conversation. I promise. I promise I will.
Benoit.
But that was so funny. I was trying to get past it, but it just hit me. I
know.
It was like a carpet bomb. It was...
We anyway. Have to touch it. It's going to happen. Let's might as well do it.
Yeah. Benoit! But,
Benoit!
No, Anderson Silva came out this week. A very different Anderson Silva. I think he was a little humbled after his loss.
That sentence.
Yeah, he was a little upset after the loss, maybe a little humbled by it, but now he's saying he's not changing his style. I'm not sure if you saw much of that interview, but he fights. That's his style. What do you have to say about that? He's not changing things. Or so he says.
I didn't hear any of that, Dean. I'm sorry. I had some interference on my end.
Oh, I was just saying Anderson Silva came out this week and said that he was not changing his style.
Why would he?
Still going to keep his hands down, still going to be the Anderson Silva we all know and love.
Well,
you might
yeah.
hate.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time someone's talked a good game going into a fight and then doing the exact opposite when he gets in there. Of course, usually it's like, I'm going to do the smart thing, and then I'm going to go in and do the dumb thing. In this case, he's saying he's going to do the dumb thing and hopefully does the smart thing.
I don't know. You know, Silva, he has made a name doing that, you know, dancing around, getting into the head of people. So maybe that he'll just stick with it.
It's possible. He certainly got the skills to do it. As long as he doesn't take Wyman lightly again. But, you know, it could be argued that Wyman just got lucky with that one shot.
That's what he said. That was part of the interview. He said it was a lucky punch. Wyman came back and said, no, I meant to throw it.
Well, of course Wyman said that. I mean, it's the great he said, she said debate. Nobody knows for sure. I doubt even Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman know for sure. I'm sure Weidman threw the punch intending to hit Silva, and he did. I'm sure Anderson Silva completely planned on dodging that punch and didn't, you know.
Christmas came early for the Weidmans.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know that Silva needs to change his style per se. I just think he just needs to. I just think if he needs to come out and be aggressive and be the killer we know he can be.
Oh, he certainly could. He certainly could. I think he was a little unmotivated. The Maya fight and things like that. He was just he was really like a lion playing around with his prey, and then he finally got a little too cocky. I don't know. I mean, we've said it for weeks. Now, talking about another Silva, have you had a chance to watch any of the YouTube videos from Tommy Toehold?
Yeah, I watched a couple of them, yes.
The guy is a genius. I would love to get him on. I'm going to write that down right now. But Tommy Toehold, if you don't know, he makes these, I guess you could call them animations.
It's like Flash animation, I think, yeah.
But he makes animations and does these fake interviews. It's all parody. It's very funny. But the last one concerned a different Silva, and that is Wanderlei Silva, the axe murderer. Silva, in my view, is still trying to stay relevant, hires a camera crew, and chases down Chael Sonnen at a Mr. Olympia event in Las Vegas. First of all, Omega, your views of what was obviously staged, if Sonnen was in on it, or what the hell is going on with Wanderlei Silva?
I don't think that Sonnen was in on it. But yeah, I don't know what Wanderlei's thinking. you know, yeah, it's obviously staged. It's obviously he's trying to sell a fight that he's refused previously, and while even while people want it, I don't think that UFC necessarily wants it.
I don't think they do either. I think they have other plans for Sonnen. Obviously, he has a fight coming up with Rashad Evans. So it's just a bizarre situation with Wanderlei Silva so obsessed, quite frankly, with Chael Sonnen.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, most of the MMA world is fascinated with Chael Sonnen in some way or form, but we don't all hire camera crews.
You gotta get it. You gotta
get it. Yeah, it's just like
Tommy Toehold. I gotta put it up because it's the funniest thing.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I get it. Selling a fight. It's just if you're gonna sell a fight, let's
have a fight
to sell. I guess
it's so bizarre. And Sonnen came out and said, "Hey, you know, if he actually touched me, I would have put him down. He came with two guys. He came with a camera crew. I don't know what's going through his head. The guy's nicknamed the Axe Murderer. If I had to defend myself, I would have."
Yeah, I mean, I don't. That may be a bunch of bluster from Sonnen. I think Sonnen just likes to talk a game. I don't know that he would actually put him down in the middle of a convention. But
hey, if you got a guy poking his finger in your face, and you know, I mean, frankly, Silva is a scary looking guy.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
I would not want him I would not want him coming, camera crew or not, up to my face as I'm sitting there, you know, selling merchandise or whatever, signing autographs, and here's, "You're going to get it," you know. I wouldn't want that.
No. It's can we just acknowledge it's a height of ridiculousness? I don't know. It's probably a new level of strange and silly.
Oh, it certainly is. I love MMA in times like this. But anyway, my goodness. Dan, let's get Omega in on the conversation. Not much has happened. Did you see either the pay-per-view or Raw this week, Omega?
I have seen. I saw a very little bit of Raw.
All right, good night, folks.
But not. I did not see the pay-per-view.
Oh well, the pay-per-view you didn't miss much. Just your thoughts on a pay-per-view ending with a no contest.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
thank you, Chris.
You're welcome, Dan. I'm here for you. It's if you're going to pay money, you should at least get a reasonable
finish.
A finish. You can do as many crappy endings as you want on Raw and SmackDown. Certainly you don't
waste my free advertising time.
Not in the main event. In the main event.
Mm-mm.
If you're going to do it on the undercard somewhere. If you have to absolutely have to do it on a pay-per-view, do it on the undercard somewhere.
Be a big schmoz or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, if I'm paying $55 for a match that you've pushed for weeks, I expect a finish. I'm sorry, that's just me. And it's just bad for the product, in my opinion.
It really is. I mean, as you to your point, they had so many different ways to go with this. Do you think a double countout would have been acceptable, or maybe finish it, have last man standing rules and they both get counted out, something like that, but not have Big Show come in, rumble down there, and knock both guys out?
Stupid.
Well, both of you. First you, Omega, then Dan.
I'm not a big fan of double countouts. I'm okay if someone cheats to win, or you get like a ref bump or something like that. That I accept that with pro wrestling, but just having it just kind of end is dumb.
It was so. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry, I didn't.
It's like they wrote themselves into a corner that they technically really didn't write themselves into, and they didn't know how to get out of it.
I can agree with that. But it was so odd. Big Show's out there. Now, of course, they win a little later. Typically, a pay-per-view will go off like a quarter of, maybe 10 of. This kind of went till 56 because of the earlier problem that people kind of blew out of proportion. It was 3 minutes that the feed was down.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, but people were like...
On the internet, you would have think that the last half of the show shut off.
Oh, you would have thought it was Halloween Havoc.
Havoc 98, yes.
Bada bing! I got one in. Hey, listen to this guy. He's got some WCW references. But it wasn't like that at all. It was 3 minutes. And
now,
people lost their poop.
Mind you, for history.
That's right,
their
poop.
Their poop. He said poop.
You're so easy sometimes, Dan. But go ahead.
I know, I'm sorry. For history's sake, Halloween Havoc had Hogan Warrior 2.
Yes.
Okay. And as much as you don't like, and I don't like Goldberg either.
Oh.
DDP.
That was his only good match.
Yeah. Thank you.
In the history of Goldberg, because I hate Goldberg. His DVD came out as part of the clips they put together. They put the kick that ended Bret Hart's career.
Starrcade 99?
Yeah, whatever it was. And, my God, why would you do that? Why?
Because it was a great match.
No, it wasn't. It ended the man's career. Possibly caused a stroke. Possibly.
No. Probably did. Probably.
Just hates me, Dan. I hate Goldberg. He's everything that's wrong with wrestling.
At least you didn't lose the main event and possibly match of the year as they did in 98, because that certainly was match of the year back in 98. DDP is on a match of the year.
No, I certainly agree with that, Dan. I certainly do. But moving right... Well, I have another question for both of you. And Dan, I'll start with you this time, then Omega follow up. Do you think it's that they don't have confidence in Daniel Bryan?
I think that's exactly what it is.
Omega?
Possibly. I just don't think they know what to do with Daniel Bryan.
They know he's a hot commodity. Obviously, he has the crowd behind him, but I don't know.
It seems to me that WWE just doesn't know how to market a little guy. It really is what it seems to me. And we saw it somewhat with CM Punk, but CM Punk was able to overcome it with his own charisma, his own talking.
Well, you've seen it in the past with the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah, absolutely. That was where I was going next. I mean, you saw kind of how, like, Rey Mysterio, his entire title reigns that he did have were just kind of ridiculous. Dolph Ziggler, another guy.
Yeah.
You know. More recent, just what do you do with it? They can't seem to figure out a way to do it with anybody who's not, you know, 250s, you know, the big jack guys.
Yeah, agreed. Dan, did you have something to add there?
No, he pretty much.
Yeah, but certainly that's kind of sad, too, especially when he's as hot as he is right now and they don't know what to do with it.
When you played the audio earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, on that note, Dan, I'm going to give you the opportunity. I know we talked about it yesterday.
Uh-oh.
New Moon has apparently lost their home. And of course, you've heard plenty about New Moon Rising Wrestling. You've heard the good. You've probably heard veiled references of the bad.
Very veiled.
And now the ugly. As apparently we have to find a new home. Dan, your thoughts? And this is completely you. I'm giving you the opportunity to say what you will.
Here's my thing, and I'm not gonna use the term shoot because everybody shoots. I'm so tired of shoots. I'm gonna be truthful here. This is really something I was hoping was on the priority list. I don't know where everybody's head is at. It's something I hope that does get resolved, because as much as we complain, as much as we say, you know, when things are tough, we also praise this company.
Certainly.
And praise the workers. And praise the people that came out to see us. See me. Anyway. No, I'm just kidding. And the reason why I'm so angry about it is because it's something I did give a damn about. And I'd like to give it a damn about it again. So if the parties involved listening, get in gear and let's get this ball rolling again.
Now, I'm going to go back to the very first time I saw a New Moon Rising show, and that's March 3rd of 2012. Now, of course, they don't have guardrails, so I can't use the famous term of I was on the other side of the guardrail. But I was, I paid for a ticket, saw this show. It was my birthday weekend. It was the actual first time all day, because New Moon at the time had this weird obsession with running during the day. I don't get it, never have, never will, but that's a discussion for another time. But it gave me the opportunity to go to two shows that day. The second one was, of course, ECWA, which were very big in the beginnings of HIAC Talk Radio.
Very.
Both companies extremely big in the very beginnings. Now, saw the show, wrote about it on the blog. The blog at the time was updated quite more frequently. So wrote about the show on the blog, how what I enjoyed, what I didn't enjoy. And the first person who got back to me was Justin America, who is now part of this very network of shows that we have. But go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, just to break in, who does not get enough credit for his character and his presence in the ring. He is not a worker in the sense that everybody else is, but that man is entertaining and can control a match and control a crowd. And he doesn't get enough credit for what he does in the business of wrestling.
No, and behind the scenes, too.
The scenes we always talk about. I was trying to give
him
a ring.
Oh, no, but
props.
In the ring. In the ring as well. But yeah, yeah. And a friendship was struck there. We got him on another podcast we used to do. That was the first time. And he actually, it was very funny because he actually announced that Tank Toland would be debuting in New Moon Rising Wrestling during that interview we had for him. I'll put that up on the Spreaker, which will actually go out across all media networks. That's one neat thing about Spreaker. When you put something up, it goes everywhere. So anyway, struck up a friendship. Before I knew it, I was going behind the curtain here. I was offered the position to be a commentator.
It was a contest.
No, it wasn't a contest at all. So I was offered the position to be a commentator. They liked my work on the blog. They liked the work of HIAC Talk Radio, and they offered that. Of course, that started the friendship and the partnership with Brady Hicks, who will be here next week. Always got a plug. That's what I do. Started that friendship, and the thing that was always they gave me a shot. It was Jake Bishop, and I remember this very well. We were at the Beast Show. It was the tribute show that they had for Chris Dragone, the one in Franklinville, and New Moon went there to support this thing. And it was the first time I got to see Jake in quite some time because there was the hiatus, and of course we're on the hiatus again. But first time I got to see Jake Bishop, of course, in quite some time. And I remember shaking his hand and I said, thank you for the opportunity. His response to me, and it always is very clear, and I remember it word for word, was, no, thank you for giving us the opportunity. And what that has meant to me is that this is a promotion that believed in this podcast. It's a promotion that believed in me as an individual. To grow, certainly I wanted to grow a little bit more, okay? And people that have talked with me and people that have known me and people that aren't even with the promotion anymore would certainly agree with my sentiments on that. I wanted to, you know, grow a little bit more. I think things got a little confused there for a while. Talk about I was trying to get myself over this or that. No, I wanted an angle to get over that I believed in and I thought could have went somewhere and got some notoriety to the company. It was a very hot angle when it started and it fizzled out. And I've said this to whoever had the ears to listen, so I don't feel like I'm shooting. I'm not shooting anyway. I'm just speaking my mind. But
there's a difference between a shoot and actually telling the full truth.
Yeah, I felt it was a thing that we could do. And it was with a guy who is very close, perhaps, to Ring of Honor. It's to a guy that has been on the indies, has proven himself, and it's with a guy that has already made it to WWE. This angle with Gacy and Tank, I felt could have really been something. And I could care less, frankly. At a certain point, I really felt, hey, I don't need to be a part of it. Just do it. Because it didn't matter, because I think it got all confused after a while. But the main point of what I'm trying to say is I believe in Jake Bishop, and I believe that this is a temporary setback. And I believe that, as a wise man once told me, failure can be humbling. And I'm not saying this to take a shot at Jake Bishop. What I am saying is that this endeavor, as it is right now, is a failure. And there's nothing wrong with the word failure. It's how you pick yourself up afterwards. If you allow yourself to believe what other people have said, and you allow yourself to believe that this is the end, then it will be. However, if you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and do things differently as a result of what has already happened, then you have grown as a person. You have grown as a promotion, and you can get through these hurdles. That's how I feel about the New Moon thing. Was the building lost? Yes. The Proving Grounds is no more. Wolfcock is no more.
But Wolfcock can live again.
Exactly. And
Wolfcock can be made bigger.
And that's what I'm saying. I think to a certain degree, it is how you respond to this moment in time. If you get angry hearing this, then...
then you missed the point.
Exactly.
It is not about... If we have to explain it to you, then you missed the point anyway.
I would certainly agree. If anybody wishes to talk to me about this, that's fine as well. I think...
Better coming from him than me.
I think that there is still potential. And
you have great people. First of all, starting with the workers, you got a great set of workers who, in the hottest of heat and the coldest of cold, put on a great show.
And that I would agree with.
You have people backstage, past myself and past you, who worked their tail off to make this work. And you have people now who know there's a product there that want the product to survive, who are upset that it's not around anymore. If that's not motivation enough...
I agree, Dan. That all said, I await to get the email. I await to get the tweet that New Moon has risen again. Omega, where can the fine people find you?
Follow me on Twitter, @OmegaSquad.
Dan?
Danlaw83. And listen to Obey the Puck Monday nights at 9 on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Network.
That's right. And I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also follow the blog, which will now be updated much more frequently, at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. That is HIACTalkRadio. Like the Facebook at Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. We are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And be good to yourself and others.
It's the end of the world as we know it.